Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. If I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G., you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G., are you on the line?
Yes, we are.
Praise God. We thank God for another Thursday where we can get together and study the Word of God. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your Word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., it's good to be back on the line. We had an awesome celebration on last Sunday. We thank New Birth and everyone that came and helped us to celebrate 15 years at the Heart of God Church. It was truly an awesome celebration, and Dr. G. brought the word too legit to quit.
Amen.
From 1 Corinthians 15:58. We talk about knowing that the steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Too legit to quit. It was an awesome celebration. And we thank God for those times that we are together to be able to fellowship one with another. And that ties into the end of this chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And it is letting us know where the word of God is preached. And Peter was preaching the word of God, that things happen where people are given an opportunity to make a choice. And once they make a choice, there is things that happen after you make that choice, certain responsibilities, certain things that we need to do in order for us to be able to continue to carry out the plan or the commission, great commission of God. And I think in these last verses of this chapter 2, it kind of breaks it down, kind of gives us a window into what the first century church actually did to maintain their commitment to carry out the Great Commission of God. And I think as a church of the 21st century, if we look at the first century church, that we can learn and gain a lot of what happened, what they did, what their responsibility was, and how they continued to do what God had left on record for them to do, and realize that the same enemy is the same enemy using the same tactics today that was back then, and how the church, if we stay focused on doing what God has commanded us to do, that we can continue to experience what I call first century blessings of the church. So we wanted to pick up in the second chapter of the book of Acts and look at recapture verse 36 through 37. Acts 2, 36 and 37. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that, you know, God allowed his son Jesus to be crucified, but he raised him from the dead. And now he is Lord and Christ. And so this is the message that Peter was preaching. And then after that message is preached, he gives the, we'll call them parishioners, or those that have heard the message, he gives them an opportunity to make a choice. And in today's vernacular or setting or venue, it will be called the Christian discipleship, or opening of the doors of the church, or invitation to Christian discipleship. And so in verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And so there's a question. So what do you do with this message that Jesus is Lord? And that's the crux of what the Christian disciple does, is he stands between life and death. And every time the gospel message goes out, there is a choice that people make once they hear it, to choose either life or choose death. And choose life with Jesus Christ or reject him. And so this is the fundamental practice of the disciple of Jesus Christ, is to live a life and preach a life that where we stand between life and death, between those who will be saved and those who will not be saved, to stand and to present that opportunity so people can choose, have a choice. Because without that message, people don't know they have a choice. And later on we'll see in the book of Acts that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. I believe that's in the book of Romans. But we have to live a life, and we have to speak a life that people will be able to make a choice. And it's trying to stay focused on this real simple point that has always been a challenge of the church. We get so caught up, involved in so many things of what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing. But the thing is, for us to come to know Jesus, come to know the Lord as our Lord and Savior, and to live a life and present the word where people can make a choice. And here Peter says, you know, what are you going to do with it? What shall we do? And it's up to individuals, Sheila G., to make that choice of what they want to do. Either they can receive the message or they can reject it. Sheila G.
And that's what I was thinking about as far as the message in this scripture, in this chapter. You'll see that before he came to this conclusion for them to ask that question, he laid mm-hmm. out the word of God. He presented the message,
yeah.
which is similar to what happens today, is that we educate, we teach, we instruct, we go to God's word, lay out, this is why, this is what, you know, we make the case as to why you should choose Christ versus choosing a carnal life and choosing death. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's up for us to make a choice. But we sell people short when we don't truly present that message. You know, one thing that Pastor always tells his ministers that when we deliver a message, you know, it can't just be pure emotions. We need to take
mm-hmm.
God's word. We need to break down when we're coming from a scripture reference. And if you notice that, you know, a person that delivers a message will always have the point, because
mm-hmm.
I'm laying it out for you. Here's the message. Here's how you can be saved. Now that you have the message, the choice is yours. And that's what we have to do as disciples of Christ.
Amen. What shall we do? And you know, that was at the end of that message. And then in verse 38, he said, then Peter said in there, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he, again, is letting them know, okay, this is what I preached about. You've come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that all of sin come short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23, and so now he's preached that message, and there's a moment, Dr. G, when the gospel has been preached, where the Holy Spirit is ready to come in and to make his entrance into the heart of those who believe. And that's why I say we stand in between life and death. The Spirit is present everywhere all the time. But he's waiting for that opportunity for those persons who have been pricked in their heart and convicted to say, I believe and I want to receive God as my Lord and Savior. I want to receive his Spirit. And this moment in believers' lives is so critical that during an invitation to Christian discipleship, during a conversation with someone presenting the gospel, that once their heart is open, that we be prayerful and mindful of this person making a life and death decision. Dr. G?
Well, you're right, and that's why, you know, we share with people that, especially after the word has been preached, that when you come to the moment where the invitation is presented, you know, we let folk know that this is the most important time of the whole service, where we give you an opportunity to make that choice. As Peter said, you know, what shall we do with this,
yeah.
this mess? And that's where every person has got to get to after they hear that message. What shall we do with it? You know, do we go left or do we go right? And too often, a lot of people, they move off of emotions. They may be going through something, and, you know, they say they accept them, but it's not really because they heard the message and they're moving
mm-hmm.
on the Holy Spirit, but they're moving out of emotions. And that's one of the wrong things that individuals can do. But they ought to be moved because they realize that they're sinners and only they can be saved by God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we were talking about, that faith comes by hearing,
mm-hmm.
hearing of the word of God. And so we who are children of God or disciples of God or followers of Christ, Christians, we have to know the word of God. And there's no shortcut to learning the word of God. And I think that's one of the challenges that every generation, every believer has, is being committed to God, his great command. And we studied in Matthew, he said that go you therefore teach all nations. And in order for us to teach, we got to learn. And, you know, we always start our Thursday night Bible class with a prayer that says, 2 Timothy 2:14, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have to know what to say. And we have to know the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take what we've learned and bring it back to our memory so that we can say what needs to be said at that particular time. And the only way you get that is spending time in the Word of God. And we I think sometimes as believers, Sheila G., we don't understand the importance of that preparation or that great command of how we carry out that great command by studying the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can pull from what we've spent time with Him, so we can speak to those, again, to those that are lost, and understand our position of standing between life and death. And that's a scary thing, to know that God places us in a position where we're His instruments, that we are standing between life and death. And we tell people to choose life, mm-hmm. and give them the opportunity to choose life by being a yielded vessel to God's command and to knowing what His word is, the Holy Spirit making that moment that we can help to bridge that gap. Sheila G.
And you're right as far as studying God's word, because even in this chapter here, as we've been studying the last couple of weeks, it gives you a clear understanding as to why we go to church and what we do at church.
Yes.
This is a framework.
Yes.
So if you've gone to church and you've never read the scripture, you're just doing it, and God used to get frustrated in the Old Testament when they were just doing stuff out of quote-unquote tradition versus knowledge. And this chapter here and what we've gone over the last few verses basically says this is what you have in church. You have the coming together. You have everybody
mm-hmm,
being
mm-hmm.
one accord. You have the preached word. Now we're moving to the section of our program that we see at church of, okay,
mm-hmm.
you've had it together, you've had everybody sing, you've given God the glory, the Holy Spirit came down, the message was delivered. Now is
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to make the choice between life and death, whether you choose to follow and believe Christ or not. And again, it's still a choice. And even at here, it's saying that once it does, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this is
mm-hmm.
our church program. But like you said, it's important to study and read the word yourself. Otherwise, you're just doing it out of tradition as if it's something that somebody's always done. And then what
mm-hmm.
happens, and this is, you know, the challenge that we have today, you have churches that take bits and pieces of this and
mm-hmm.
put the fact into it. So then you have people that don't understand because you're not taking it from God's word, and they get frustrated with the church. And when they ask why, we had a recent member that joined that said when she asked certain things about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the leaders of the church
mm-hmm.
couldn't explain it. But if they had gone into this word, gone to this
mm-hmm.
chapter, studied from here, the answers were laid right there versus avoiding and not being able to answer the question. And we as church leaders need to lean on this word and teach others that we're not just doing this out of form or fashion. We're doing this based
mm-hmm.
off the word. And here it is in God's word.
Amen.
Amen. And that you said that so well is we who are leaders or disciples or followers of God, we should be equipped to be able to present this message. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be someone with the title to be
mm-hmm.
able to present this message. And
right.
every believer is charged with a great command.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that needs to be and share with every believer. You've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and so you have to be obedient to his great command. He said, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. That's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And we have to understand, let people understand that in order to carry out that command where he has two teachers in there, there's a teach to teach them about salvation, and then there's a teach to teach them about how to live holy or how to live for God. And
right.
And it's a thing of always learning and always striving to be like Christ. And that's the importance of this fellowship and prayer and gathering as a church family, that we would be equipped. And Ephesians talks about being equipped for the work of the ministry. And we have to look at Romans, where it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not conform to this world, Romans 12. And you begin to see these things that the Holy Spirit is witnessing and teaching. And at the end of this chapter, toward the end of it, there were 3,000 souls that were added to the church because God's people were equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to stand between life and death, and people chose life because mm-hmm. God's people were equipped. She comment on that, Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And they chose life because the people were equipped, because Peter and the disciples did what they were to do. But too often, especially in this 21st century now, with all of the modern technology, you know, we have gotten, I guess the word is soft. You know, we want the technology to do everything for us. We can't think anymore because we're relying on technology to do everything. You know, the Lord convicted me this year, and he told me to go back to having people open their physical Bibles, pull up mm-hmm. the scripture, and all of that. And I'm getting ready to start something where I'm going to make copies of the books of the Bible mm-hmm. because we don't know them. You know, folks mm-hmm. sitting there through and they're trying to remember, then someone has to come along and help them. But too often in these past, what, 5-10 years, I've always watched this folk, and I mean, I don't have nothing against it, but mm-hmm. it makes me off because we don't know the word. We don't know where the books of the Bible are. We don't know what's in the word because we're relying on a computer or an iPad or a phone. Mm-hmm. Something to take us directly there and then tell us what's in it. And half the time, I mean, we're not going to read it unless we come to mm-hmm. the church. So, you know, along with getting the message, you know, people need to understand we have a responsibility. We've got to put the work in. That's why I challenge folk on Sunday again. We've got mm-hmm. to take the time. Talk about we don't have time. We got time for everything but God. And
Amen.
Those three and souls that came, you know, they had to get the commission. Go forth and spread the good news. So once folk hear it, then they have a responsibility to get into that word, make time to study. I mean, if they don't want to call here, open that Bible, make time to get into your word, make time to pray, make time to get to know the Lord. That's basically it right there. But we're too busy. We're too soft. You know, we want to take
mm-hmm.
a short the easy way, and there is no easy way. If you're serious about your journey in Christ, there is no easy way to do it.
Amen.
Amen. And in that great command that God gave in Matthew 28:19-20, he didn't say it was going to be easy. Only thing he promised was that he would be with us. He didn't make any say, well, once you get saved, it was going to be easy. And I think that's a misnomer. That people think that and I think the enemy, the devil, uses that against us, because when it gets a little hard, we're ready to go the easy route. But God, in his great command and commission to the church, he did not say it was going to be easy. He said, lo, I'll be with you always, even into the end of the world. He didn't give any type of sign that it was always going to be easy. And so let's go back to Acts 2, verse 39. And he says, for the promise is to you, is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are for all. In other words, this gospel or this message is for everyone, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the Father draws. And when God's message goes out, that's his drawing. He's drawing those that are lost, those that are dead in trespasses and sin. And when we who have been made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit speak that word, we're the ones who shine light in darkness. And those that are far off can see that light and be drawn to God and make that choice. He said the promise is to you. And that if you accept him by faith, you'll receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. You will receive the promise of salvation. You'll receive the promise of restoration, regeneration, and the promise of adoption and sonship. But we have to choose life. And once we choose that life, we have to share the gospel. If we go to verse 40, and it tells us, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So Peter is reemphasizing. It reminds me of the gospel minister standing, and he's asking, mm-hmm. and a lot of times the gospel minister is made fun of because he said, is there one? Is mm-hmm. there one today? And a lot of times people make fun of that, and, you know, is there one today? And you know, you hear this in Peter. He says, you know, save yourselves from this untoward mm-hmm. generation. Is there one that would fall out with the world and come to Jesus and to know him as your Lord and Savior? And that is that whole invitation, you know, many words and testify and exhort. And you're exhorting to tell someone, save yourself. You know, I can't make that choice for you. And too many people will die in their sins. And people will wonder why didn't that person make that decision? But everyone has a choice. They have to make that choice for themselves and to save themselves from the outcome of the untoward generation or the generation of unbelievers or the generation of the dead and the dead that are separated from God. Sheila G.
Amen. And in the 40th verse, it's showing the compassion. In other words, he didn't just go through the motion, give his message, basically say, okay, you want to be saved, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, now mm-hmm. let's go. He kept showing that compassion of, I'm going to continue to stand here, kind of like what Pastor was preaching Sunday, being steadfast, immovable, mm-hmm. always abounding in the work of the Lord. So here you hear it in 38, you hear it in verse 39, and here he is in 40, basically saying that same thing. It's like, the choice is yours, but I'm going to mm-hmm. keep reiterating to you why you want to make this choice. What will happen if you make this choice? I've stayed in my case, but I still want to encourage you and tell you how to be saved, and that's showing the compassion of Christ versus, okay, I did my part, now go ahead and make a choice. But showing that love and that compassion, and you see it in the church. So mm-hmm. often you see there's people that are like on the fence and they're not sure.
Yes.
That's why
yes.
it is good for the pastor or the preacher to basically not just say, will you come, but this is why you should come. Listen to the
yeah.
message that we got delivered. If you want to be saved, if you want to, life's not going to be easy, it's not going to be perfect, but you can come in here, you can learn about Christ, you can grow, and then you'll be able to handle this life better. But if you come right now, you'll already be saved, and then you can, then starts the work of growth. But Peter is just continuing offering that
mm-hmm.
the invitation to discipleship and not giving up.
Amen. And it's an exciting period of time. It's an intense period of, it's like I said, we're standing between life and death. You have the forces of evil and the forces of good pulling opposite of each other. And but there's the message, and God's drawing. And if you go to verse 41, it says, then, in other words, there's a breakthrough. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And again, Dr. G was preaching on Sunday was your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And understand that some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. And that's another device of the enemy, is to try to put disciple against disciple. That, you know, I did this and I did this, where you lose the whole meaning of being a disciple and working for the Lord, where, you know, some said Paul did this, and some said, you know, Apollos did this, and then it had to be straightened out. I said some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. And so you take self out of it so that people can see that it is God that's doing drawing, and that God is the one that adds to the church. And we're just being obedient vessels, like I said, standing between life and death, presenting this gospel message. And when we do that on one accord, this is what happens. People can receive the word gladly, where there's a clear path. And too many times it's garbled, like you said, with confused messages of what thus said man, and entertainment and religion get in the way, instead of the word of God being presented clearly with power and conviction, with people praying and trained to be intercessors where the message is being given out. And that's what I tell people is, you know, when you come to worship and there's an opportunity for people to be saved, we should be mindful that we should be praying, that we should be doing intercessory prayer, that we should be holding, you know, I call it military term, suppressive fire down on the enemy, so those people that don't know Christ can have a clear opportunity to hear the word and have it presented. That's why it's important to come to worship, you know, prayed up, prepared, and then not in our feelings and our emotions and doing a lot of worldly stuff, but become ready to do spiritual warfare for the Lord, because there might be someone in our midst that doesn't know God in the free pardoning of their sins and needs to hear this word and be able to receive it, but with a lot of the spiritual noise, the physical noise, and a lot of the distractions, it can be difficult for someone to make that choice, and that's just doing battle with the enemy. Dr. G, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and along with what you're saying, you know, it's important for us who have gotten the word that we understand that, okay, we hear it, we need to exhibit what the Lord has said in his message. You know, we need to treat people with a spirit of love so that as they come, you know, they can experience the love of Christ even before they get to the point where they hear that message. You know, one of the members, new members that did come and made a point to indicate that one of the reasons, she was greeted with a hug by one of the ushers. That helped to kind of bring her in on the right frame of mind. And when we do that, you know, because people are coming for various reasons, but when they come to a setting like the church, they ought to be able to come and feel the warmth and the love within the body of the church. So that as the service goes on, the music, the worship, and then by the time the message comes, they can really experience that worship, that mountaintop experience. But too often, you know, folks, some of our churches, people are just as cold. They roll their eyes at them. You know, they make them want to turn around and go back out that door. So it's important that We who have heard the message and we've accepted, we've already made the choice that we exhibit what the Lord has already taught us how we ought to act.
Amen.
And that leads us to verse 42, Acts 2:42. It says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And this is what you were talking about earlier, Sheila G., is this is what church membership is about. It's about us receiving the word and continuing to receive the word and continuing to live out the word. And what Dr. G was talking about, the community of believers, the fellowship, the interacting with one another, based upon what the Word of God says. And when we do that, what happens is, in prayers, what happens is the full impact of the Spirit of Christ can have its effect in our communities, in our lives, in our churches. So we have to continue. And that's what Dr. G was preaching on Sunday, that 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be steadfast, unmovable," always abounding in the work of the Lord. You have to continue to be steadfast.
Right.
You have to continue to do this. And it's not just doing what we want to do. And I think this is where a lot of times babes in Christ and even some of the other members, they don't want to follow what the apostle doctrine is, what the
right.
word of God is. But in our church, We acknowledge that the Word of God is the final final say, and everyone from the pulpit to the door, if we're guided by the Word of God, then we can be on one accord and we can have the proper fellowship, and we can minister to each other, and we can break bread together, and we can pray together. And we can be used by God together. But if we're not steadfast in the apostles' doctrines, and apostles were teaching the word of God, we're not steadfast in the word of God, then we don't have the proper fellowship. We don't want to deal with each other. We don't want to pray with each other because we're not on one accord living and learning what the word of God says. Sheila G.
Amen. And, one thing that as you were talking about that, it made me think back to what Dad said as far as with his church and being a leader in the church is that it's important for the church to be humble and also to be in unity. And I say that as I'm reading through this, someone sharing with me recently, her husband, trustee, at a fairly large church. And a lot of people are leaving, and they're leaving because they're not one accord, and they're not one accord because from the pulpit to the door, man is putting himself into it. For example, those that pay the biggest tithes, those are ones that are recognized for the position. Those are the ones that get the favoritism, whereas those that are babes or younger that don't have the same experience aren't getting that same attention or that same guidance, so then you start having a division in the church. But if they were to go back to this word, go back to this chapter, you could see it started out with a praise. It started out with the Holy Spirit coming down.
Mm-hmm.
It started out with everybody coming together. And the word, the central part of it was Jesus and following
mm-hmm.
Jesus, receiving the Holy Ghost and receiving, like you said, life versus death. And then here we're talking about, okay, now you had 1,000 souls coming together, joining, and then fellowshipping and praying together. And then further down,
mm-hmm.
you see how they're like selling their goods and everything
yeah.
and coming together.
Yeah.
But often in the church, it's like we bring in the Lord, but we forget about the word. So then it becomes about who's giving the most money, who can talk
mm-hmm.
the most, can sing the best, who can, and then you start having these competitions
yeah.
where if you're a Bible believer, it doesn't matter what whether it's a Baptist, Methodist, or what have you, if the central thing is God and Jesus and the Bible, you would read right here that everybody is on the same playing field. Either, like
yeah.
you said, the choice is either life or death, and that's it. And so it's important that we as church, when people come into it, we present that we don't present it that we're holier than thou. We present it that we're and have come short. So therefore, we're opening up our arms to you. This may be the first time you ever walked in church, but it doesn't matter. Because it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. And you just have to make that one step, and you're saved just as much as I'm saved. My job is, because I'm a little more seasoned, is to help you to grow. But as far as salvation, I'm no different than you are.
Amen. Amen. And that's why we have to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles' doctrine is the word of God. Because once we get away from that, that's where we get in trouble. And so here in a nutshell, we see the first century church. First century church was led by the Holy Spirit. They were in the Word of God. They were carrying out the command of God. And once the command of God, the first teach was to talk about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. G, after they talked about salvation, they were baptized. And baptism is an initiatory rite after you have received God's plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Then you identify with the outward expression of what has happened in your heart, and you're baptized. And then a lot of times that's as far as where people go. But then there's a responsibility to get into the church, to learn what your gifting is, to work in the church, to be a part of the body that continues the work of the church, which is to shine light in darkness, to present this gospel message. And I think a lot of times people have trouble with that transition, finding their way and realizing there is a place and there's a role for them to play. And like Sheila G was saying, you know, sometimes you have the holier than thou folks that really turn people off because they've been in the church for a while. But sometimes that's not a positive. Sometimes that's a hindrance because they have lost the compassion to understand that we need to wrap our arms around the newly converted, and to nurture them and to help them to find their place in the body of Christ. Whether young or old, everyone has a gift and a role to play. And so, you know, that's another challenge that the church has is, you know, it's not just about presenting the gospel and people being saved, but it's about presenting the gospel, people being saved, and people living according to the gospel. And that's what makes a difference in people's lives, and that's what makes a difference in the church, Dr. G.
You're absolutely right, and that's one of the things that I try to do, is that once folk come in and, you know, they do accept the Lord and they become a part of it, you know, we try to find out where to put them, you know, and I'm already praying, Lord, where do you want this individual? What ministry, what kind of work? And, you know, and I will go to them and ask them, you know, what is it that you want to do? Just to kind of get an idea, or at least to plant that seed within their mind, because I think one of the worst things that folk can do is come into the church and just sit and be a pew member. You know, we all need working. And if we're working together, then God gets the glory out of everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that, because I've already told them that this year we're going to be doing a lot more training. We're going to get into that word more so that folks understand what their jobs are. It's more than just showing up on Sunday mornings and then sitting there looking pretty or looking cute. We've got to understand that we have a job to do. Our job is to be witnesses unto the Lord.
Right.
But when we come into the church fold, everybody needs to be working, including the young people.
Amen.
And I believe that very strongly.
Amen. It's very important, but you know, we got to get back to the basics, like you said, to you know, get away from religion.
Amen.
Religion. People can religiously do anything.
Hello.
Right.
Exactly. People religiously watch their football team. You know, you can religiously do anything, but we have to be about carrying out the command that God gave, and you know, that it wasn't a choice; it was a command. So this is all we should be doing, and everyone has a role to play, and it's so vitally important that we be on that one accord, and we have fellowship, and we pray together, and that we are in the Word together, and that's what I tell people, and it's so important about Bible study. If I can get to know you, and you can get to know me, and you can get to know your pastor through sitting down and talking about the Word of God. And I tell people that's how fellowship is built, by us working together in the vineyard. That's what makes us strong, is when we have a bond and working together in the vineyard. And then a lot of times, once you're working together in the vineyard, you don't have to say a lot. You just know, because you know that person, you know how the Spirit works with that person, and you just work together. And that's what I love about Heart of God and New Birth. We don't have to say a lot. You know, it's a fellowship that we have together, that when we get together, it gets stronger, because we're working together for the common cause of Christ. And when you begin to start having that, you really have a bond. I call it the faithful few.
Right.
In ministry, because people have to have the understanding. That's how it works. You know, you have that bond by working together on one accord, and whatever someone needs in the body of Christ or in their lives, because we've been working together, it just gets taken care of. You don't have to make a whole big what I did or see how I did. If there's a need, it gets taken care of. If someone comes in and they have a problem with their loved one or their children, or they're going through something, it's just a fellowship. It's a bond in the church where people begin to pray, people begin to call, people begin to drop by, provide things. It was the body of Christ ministering to the body of Christ. And that's, again, what the body of Christ is supposed to do. It's supposed to edify and build each other up, so we can carry out what the command of God is. And that's what God wants in his church. But we got to get back to that basic of being on one accord in prayer and fellowship and in the Word of God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what that whole humility and unity is all about, is being unified, one accord, everybody working towards the same goal, which is to follow Christ and to draw others. And that's how you draw others. You know, it's almost like when you go to work, and if you go on a job and it's a new job and you got all these departments pitting against each other, you don't want to be there. You go and you see teamwork. You know, people are always talking about teamwork and doing team building and things like that, because we're together. We're stronger by being together, being unified for one cause. And that one cause in the church is to give our lives to Christ, but also to draw others. And you can't draw others if you're looking down your nose.
Amen.
You can't draw others if you feel like you arrived, but you will draw others if you're humble enough to say, you know what, I need you, you need me, we need to work together in unity to draw others to Christ, and believing on the one thing that we're all saved by God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we Dr. G, looks like your challenge is starting to have a positive effect. We got the phone lines lit up pretty good tonight. We're going to go to some callers, and we just want to ask the question tonight about the standing between. Do you realize that we're standing as God's vessel between life and death, for people to choose life and choose death? I think that's important for people to understand that has been part of God's command for us to present present, he says, to go and to understand that, you know, it's we're standing between life and death. People are making life and death choices every day. And so I just wanted to know from the callers, do you understand that as a disciple, now you are God's instrument standing between people can choose life and death? So we're going to go to our first caller, and last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I understand that that I am standing between someone, whoever, you know, you might be talking to or witnessing to or sharing the word with, even in everyday conversation, people that you meet, I'm aware of that. And all you can do is just ask the Holy Spirit to help you, give you the right words to say. You know, it doesn't have to be a 10-minute sermon or a long speech, you know. You know, just let the Holy Spirit guide you in what to say and how to say it. You know, say it with love and, you know, that you really concern and care about the person. People know when you're just saying something to be saying it and when you're really concerned about them. And the other thing is, once you have shared with others, then let God do his work. You all have said before, all we can do is plant seeds and somebody else will come along and water it. But God will give the increase. And it's not for us to make a determination, you know, where that person stands. Because we have to let God, some, you know, work with people. And he'll bring them in when he get ready. You know, all we can do what we are called to do. And the other thing I want to share is there is no big eyes.
That's right.
You know, with God. One of the things we have to share with people and let them know that every soul is important. And no matter what you do, once you accept Jesus and believe in him, what he has called you to do for him is just as important as any other person job that God want them to work. As long as you're doing it out of pure heart and he's getting the glory, that's all that is matter. It's no glorified jobs. It's no big jobs when you're working for the Lord. God just want a humble, meek, sincere heart, and whatever you do for him, do it from the heart. Let him get the glory, and that's all that is needed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7945. 7945, you're on the air.
Good evening. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I was just my first time on the line, and I was just letting him listen to you and Sheila and Pastor's comment and the lady just spoke, and like I do trust the Lord, and I believe in him, and I just want to thank him for another day.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Welcome on the line. We're going to go to the next caller. Next caller is last four digits, 1285. 1285, you're on there.
Praise the Lord. Let me tell you all how you all are
blessed.
This Bible study is blessing me because it's breaking it down, and I haven't been in a setting like this. And because I don't drive and have a car, I get to the church. You all come right here on the conference call, and I just wanted to tell you how much of a blessing you are, and because I'm starting up again with this walk. I have been stuck with the other church that I belong to, but the church doors have closed. So with that, I hadn't been assembling and been kind of stuck. So I want to thank the Lord today for all of you. Standing in between life and death, I'm learning that now because up until now, I have been the one in the world living by emotion and was taught that we're supposed to, you're supposed to go by how you feel. If you feel good, do it, you know. But now I'm realizing, and I'm looking and getting into seeing how the Lord would want us to live. And I've never even looked at this, read over this scripture, and never see it like I see it tonight. That when Peter was speaking to them, he reminded them of what they already knew, but then he told them how to go forward after that. And that's what I'm learning, how not to get stuck. And I can't come to the decision or to come to an answer if I'm not assembled, because this is how we draw, get our strength. And, you know, by making sure that we're on one accord, we must assemble ourselves. So I just thank the Lord for you all, because I just didn't know, you know, a lot of this. And then when you call my number, I'm like, oh, what do I say? What do I say? But now that I know I'm standing between life and death of another individual, and I can use it because my son is out. I live with my son. And when he comes in, I can use this, at least starting with him.
Amen.
When I didn't know what to say, when I didn't know what to say to him because he just got fired from his job, now I can know what to say to him in humility, not fussing and arguing and calling names like my dad used to do with us. So I thank the Lord for this word. I thank the Lord for you all. I thank the Lord for this, how he has you all. This is what I'm noticing. I'm stepping into an already equipped spiritual setting. So I'm just so glad to be a part of it, and I got to tell you, I'm so open that you better put me to work quickly. You got me. I'm one of those little kids, you know, that will come up and say, okay, what can I do with it? And I'll be in your way, you know. But I just thank the Lord for now that I know, because all of us are souls, and I don't have to walk around and be judgmental like I was taught.
That's right.
All these things that the world is doing is against this word. It's just so refreshing now to know, wow, you just don't know how much I'm breathing a sigh of relief. Like, I do not have to walk around with all that gruff, with all that tension and anxiety, because I'm not doing right by the world's way. All I have to do is do it right and be pleased in the sight of God. And so learning this with just stepping into a new birth. I'm stepping into it and learning, and I'm humble enough. I want to know what it is I need to do to help that individual that I come across, and I can make the choice that I made.
Amen.
Pray myself in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We got time for one more caller. We can go last four digits, 3343. You on there?
Good evening, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day, First Lady, and all the ladies that's on the line today, for your day. It's supposed to be the ladies' day, but it's love for everybody, and the man and the woman. But anyway, I understand what the Lord did to me. I'm here, and each day that I don't get to church, it burns me, because the pain's bothering me, because the weather and whatnot kills me, and me and my wife cry because we can't get to where we're supposed to, wants to go and do the thing. But the Lord let us stay around and do this, and he brought us a mighty long way, and I can't question them to say how long it is, because he said he give us open eyes every day, and every morning, and say he gave us another day to keep going kicking. So you have to hold on to me until I get there. But in the meantime, God is I understand God for the longest, and I've been there long, and he's letting me stay in long to keep on understanding me. As long as I stay and open my eyes and give him a day and praise his holy name and read my Bible. That's all I can tell you. All the may stay with your Bible all the time, and including love and Valentine's Day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, looks like we've hit our time limit tonight. We ask you for your final comments and close us out in prayer, please.
Amen. Well, we thank God for the lesson, and we thank God for Peter and those that did what the Lord wanted him to do. And, you know, I too, and I tell folk all the time that I haven't reached the level where I know everything, because I'm still learning. And that's the
Amen.
Important that we stay in the Word, where each day we learn something, we gain more knowledge, and then we go put it into practice. I'm going to share this one thing, then we'll go ahead and pray out. When I first got to New Birth, and it blew my mind, first church meeting we were in, one of the things that they had in place, this was the way that they elected their officers of their groups and ministries, depending on how much each person gave on tithes. Hmm. And everybody would get a report of what everybody gave. And
wow.
when I saw that, it blew my mind. That was the first time I'd ever seen anything of that nature. And the Spirit immediately told me, that's going to be the first thing that you're going to have to kill here. And once I did, you know, had some pushback, but at that point it really didn't matter. It's nobody else's business what you give.
Mm-hmm.
That's between the individual and the Lord. And what I do, you know, I mean, I see the report at the end of the year, but those that don't give, I go and pray on them. And I ask the
mm-hmm.
Lord to do convicting, let them know that they can step it up and do better. But, you know, we are in a time now where from the president on down, you know, we see how he conducts himself. And until we go back to the Word and, you
Amen.
Know, talk about in God we trust, we need to start living it. And until we start making time for him and doing the things that we're supposed to be, we'll never be right where we're supposed to be. And I thank God for, you know, convicting me to the point where I really don't care what folks think
mm-hmm.
about what I'm doing, but I've got to do as the Lord commands me.
Amen.
So I'm grateful to him this year that he's given me the Holy Ghost boldness enough to stand and say, this is what the Lord says according to that word. And so we continue to challenge people. We continue to challenge them in prayer
Amen.
And in word. And understanding that this is the only way that we're going to grow and learn about what God wants us to be about. So I thank God for that. And with that, we're going to ask everyone to just bow their head. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for just another evening in your word. Lord, truly, when we get into the word and we study, we learn more
mm-hmm.
about you. Learn how you want us to go about things, how you want us to work. And Father, I thank you that in this book of Acts, we learn about the Holy Spirit and what it did, giving us the program that we should follow.
Yes.
Now, Lord, it's up to us to take it and apply it. Father, I pray right now that tonight we've been made better by this word. And I thank you for the testimonies and those that have
mm-hmm.
made comments. Us, O Lord, that we can continue to follow the plan that you've laid out in your word, that we can break these scriptures down and get a better understanding of what it is that you want. Father, if it's your will that we awaken on tomorrow and go forth, Lord, then let thy will be done. And Father, on Sunday, pray, O God, that we'll get a chance to go back to our separate churches and do what you want to be done. Lord, we thank you in advance, and we claim the victory right
mm-hmm.
now. Pray and ask it all in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you and hear from you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Everyone.